tonight would be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to be saved.
Amen.
Brother Eddie was just mentioning we're coming up on the birthday of America.
Yeah.
Celebrating our freedom of independence in 1776.
And, yeah.
I know America's got a lot of problems, but we're talking about that. I'd still rather live here than any nation on this planet.
Amen.
You know, it's just we need got a lot to be thankful for.
True.
More than we can ever thank Him for.
Amen.
We have a lot to be thankful for. Thank the Lord for the rain we got yesterday. So
yes.
Probably,
mercy
just kind of one sporadic hit and miss. And Bonnie was talking about it yesterday. My daddy always used to say, when it gets real dry like this, it's hard to rain. And just always seemed to hold true. But thank the Lord for the rain we got. And looking for rain today on the inside.
Amen.
Some showers of blessings.
Hallelujah.
Y'all just remember Kay. I think she's gotten into some poison ivy. She's been scratching and digging all night.
Oh, my.
She's been.
That's rough.
I tell you, that's rough.
More scratching, more spread.
Yeah, so pray for her. Continue to pray for her mom. She's doing really good.
Praise the Lord.
She got a good report the other day.
Amen.
From the doctor. I don't think she goes back till August, sometime in August 11th. But she's doing good. To be 91 years old.
Yeah.
She lives, her birthday be 92. And just an amazing miracle how God works. So. All right, anybody else got
to pray for Mark, August 11th. I'm pretty sure that's the date he told me he will have to go to Murfreesboro and get his nerves burnt again in his back. So I will be taking him if, you know, Billy's doing well.
Right.
And so remember Mark. Also, do remember Billy. He will start a new job Tuesday at Smithville, Tennessee. He'll be an analyst.
Amen.
There will be one man ahead over him in the whole factory, and so he is really looking forward
to
it.
Praise the Lord.
And his oncologist,
thank you,
told him she encourages her patients to move forward if, you know, they feel that they are able. And so Billy felt that this is where he needs to be right now.
Amen.
So I thank God for that.
Remember Brother Eric too.
Yes.
He hasn't been here in a while.
Yeah, I think Rita said he's got to go to the doctor sometime the first part.
I think it's the 6th of July.
She told me, and I forgot what she said, but it's sometime in the first few days of this month.
Yeah.
So, I pray for him. And Joanne, seemed to pray for her. And tell you, just so many things going on.
I don't know the situation with Carol and Jimmy. I know Carol... She had the shingles or something like that.
She did,
yeah.
Bad. She had a bad.
Been praying for Carol, Jimmy. But got a lot to pray about. Lots to pray about.
And Sarah called me.
Your friend, Brother Eddie, that always sits right there. Bless his heart.
I figured Donnie be here today.
I know Donnie wants to be here. But, you know, this guy's messing with his job. And I understand, you know, that...
Yeah, he said he was on call again this weekend because they don't have help. They just don't have help.
Yeah, he was telling me this week he really missed being here. He said,
I never understood their job there. You know, they got 6 days a week to deliver that medicine out to these people who has to get it. Why do they have to deliver it on Sunday?
Yeah.
And Donnie don't want to speak up. Donnie won't speak up to the man. He's really a nice guy to talk to tell you the truth. He lives right behind me there. And he's a nice guy to talk to, but Donnie just don't want to talk to him about taking all his Sundays up like that.
Yeah.
Okay, take them up once in a while. You know, I had to do that once in a while when I was in the working force. I made it clear that, you know, you're not taking up every one of my Sundays. I'm a deacon in my church.
Amen.
And I said, you're not taking up all my Sundays. Once in a while, maybe once a month, I'll go out on a Sunday for you. But other than that, you know, you'll have to find you another driver.
I don't want to take up a lot of time, but this is a subject that's really, I can identify with, and Brother Ed. I talked to a young man yesterday at the cemetery. His grandmother's just buried steps from where William is. Mm-hmm. And he said, she was all I had.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And she passed away with COVID last year, sometime last year. She was in the hospital. And he told me, he said, you know, for a long time I blamed God. I blamed him for taking my grandmother away from me. And then he said, it just came to me not long ago that I had to quit blaming God, because he said, someday I'm going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be stepping into heaven, and I don't want God looking at me and saying, you know, you blamed me for this. But people deal with grief in different ways. And grief never ends. It may change to a certain extent, but it never ends, never. Yeah. Mm. So I want us to pray for that young man, but not only him, but for all the people that are grieving, that's lost their loved ones, you know?
Yeah.
It's sad, I mean.
You know, I talked to my pastor here when God took care of him. I'm like that boy, I blame God. I said, you took her, didn't take me with her.
Yeah.
You know, we've been together 58 years, and all of a sudden you take her and leave me here. It's not,
I never
right.
did
it's
blame
not fair.
I didn't blame God, but...
I did. But I got over it, you know. And one of the things, though, that I was really, really... is God just worked instantly like that for me at the hospital and scared me. Oh, man. I'm telling you, I was trembling. That when that woman came up and grabbed me and hugged me, she'll tell you today I was trembling because I seen something that I would have never, ever believed that I seen. And Brother Eddie said, God allowed me to see it for a reason.
Yes.
Okay? But it scared me. When I walked up there and reached over and kissed her on the forehead, I said to God while I was standing there, I said, God, send your best angel to get her.
Bless your heart.
We've been together 58 years and you're taking the best that I've ever had.
Bless you, brother.
Mm-hmm. And you know what he did?
Yeah.
Sister Flonnie, so help me, on a stack of Bibles, as tall as I am, I seen the angel come and take her. Okay, but it scared me. When I seen it, it scared me. And I thought I went crazy.
Amen.
I really did. I thought I went crazy. My oldest boy, he was also there. He was standing leaning up against the door facing them. After I backed off, he walked up there and told his mom. I heard him tell her mom, go ahead home. Everything's going to be okay.
Amen. That's what we told
him. And when he told her that, she just quit breathing. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just as peaceful as history, she just quit breathing.
Yeah.
And that's when I seen that angel. But I hadn't talked to Kyle until a year later. Might have been a little over a year later. He went to Florida to a wedding for his grandson. And he came back by the house. He said, Dad, I need to go over to the cemetery to see Mom. I haven't been up there. It's been a year. I said, okay. So we came over here. Mary had to go to the bathroom, so I opened the back door so she'd go in and go to the bathroom. And we was walking up the hill there. And I reached over and I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, Kyle, I got a question to ask. I said, tell me the truth. That's all I ask out of you. Is it true? He said, oh, Dad, I've never lied to you in my life. I don't know why I would start now. And I said, I've seen something at that hospital when your mother took her last breath. He broke down, started crying. He said, Dad, I did too, but I couldn't talk to nobody about it. Because I knew people would think I was crazy.
No.
Amen.
I think God does that to help comfort us.
So if he seen it and I seen it, it was there.
Amen.
And that's what Brother Eddie told me. Oh, yeah. He said, Ed, God just allowed you to see what he wanted you to see. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't know that my oldest son seen it also. But he told me, he said, Dan, I couldn't talk to nobody about it because people would think I was crazy. I said, Praise God, you're not crazy, son. I'm going to tell you that now. You're not crazy.
No.
I think, though, a lot of times, when Jesus cried out on the cross to his Father,
Yeah.
You think what our Heavenly Father was going through.
Yes,
I mean,
Lord.
As much as we grieve, I don't think it was anything compared to what he was going through.
No.
His only son, only son.
Well, you know what, like you said, I blame God. You know, I said, man, I can't believe that you did this to me. You took her and didn't take me with her. Mm-hmm. But it was for, I don't know what the purpose is. I'm still here at this church, and I'm still doing God's will. So that's, you know, that has to be all it is. And
would you want her to suffer any longer?
Oh, absolutely not.
You get what I mean?
Oh, and no, listen, I thank him, I don't know how many times, for taking her out of her pain and her misery.
Amen.
They just wasn't medication that could do it, and he was the only medication she had, and he took her out of her pain, her misery, and I thank him for it all the time. Every
Amen,
time I pray,
Amen.
I stand up here this morning, and I said, thank you, Lord, for taking her on home. I just need you to take me too, because I need to be out of this mess down here, boy. This is a mess. This world's a mess.
Well, Mark, you seen all those things I had hooked up on William. I mean, it's just... everywhere. I mean,
more and burn.
So I just, you know, when he took that last breath, he was free from all of that.
That's right.
It is.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Charles Spurgeon said one time, if the situation that we're in, if they would have been a better one for us, God would have chosen it.
That's
right.
Yeah. You know, a lot of truth to that statement. We think a lot of times,
world,
you know, this is bad, but you know, God takes bad things, make good things.
So it is.
Absolutely.
And, it's all together.
You know, his ways past finding out. We don't understand God a lot of times.
See you in part, knowing part.
But a lot of times we can't really understand what he's doing, but we can always trust him.
Job said, I see where he works, but we can't understand
where
his work.
All right, Brother Eddie, would you pray for us?
Father, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to be in your house. Thank you, Father, for the testimonies that we've just heard, Lord. Lord, knowing you're the God of all comfort, knowing, Lord, that you come to us, Lord, and not only do you comfort, console us, but Lord, you carry us, Lord, through the valley. Lord, you're the God of the valley as well as the God of the mountain. And Lord, we were just mentioning people that needed prayer. We pray for Kay, Lord. Pray, Lord, you would help her, Lord, that poison ivy. We pray for Eric. Pray you'll be with him. Help him, Lord. Father, we pray for that young man, Lord, that Sister Bonnie mentioned. Lord, she met him at the graveside. Lord, he just said he didn't feel like he could go on. And we pray for him, God. You would encourage him. I pray for Billy, Lord. I pray, Father God, Lord, for Carol and Jimmy. Pray, dear Lord, for Sister Joanne.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for blessing Mark and Kay's mother.
Yes.
Lord, we rejoice, Lord, hearing that good report.
Yes. Yes.
And Lord, we just pray, dear Father God, today, Sarah, Lord, she wasn't feeling well, Lord, this week, called me asking for prayer. We pray for her.
Yes.
Lord, just more than we could even number people, Lord, that have infirmities, that have, Lord, illnesses, Lord. And Lord, you're the great physician. Lord, you're the one that healed them all. Lord, you fixed the problems.
Yeah.
You come to them and minister, Lord, to the hurt and to the helpless, Lord. You cause them, Lord, to rejoice. And Lord, I pray you do it again. Bless Brother Mark this morning, Lord, as he teaches from the Word of God. Lord, your Word said you sent your Word and you healed them. And Lord, we know, Lord, there's a lot of healing in that Word. And what little reading I do it in your Word. I want to make what time I do read it, Lord, as valuable as I can. And I invest in the Word of God. Bless him as he teaches this morning.
Yeah.
Give us a heart to hear and understand the great truths and the great treasures. Bless us here today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, back in Genesis chapter 6, seemed like just kind of go a little slow on our forward progress, but I'd rather have quality than quantity. Yes.
Amen.
I'd rather go a little and learn a lot than go a lot and learn a little.
Yes.
I tell you, the Word of God is just an amazing thing. I don't care how much you read it and study it,
and
you think about it. Always stuff to learn. Of course, last week, I guess it was, we talked about the generations of Adam and brought us up to Noah and brought us to what's going on in chapter 6. And of course, God saw the wickedness of man and all the stuff that's going on. And let me tell you, God saw it then and he sees it today.
Yeah.
Amen.
Same right. God saw it then, same God sees it today.
That's right.
Enough.
And people, you know, they just kind of live in carefree and think, well, you know, God ain't done nothing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, day ain't over yet, you know.
It's true.
Judgment's coming.
Amen.
And one of us, the Bible said, we're all going to give account ourselves to God. We all
going
to save or lost. We're going to do it. We may do it in different capacities. But people think God sees all the wickedness still going on. And you know, I was thinking this week, except for, things just go through your mind when you're studying. Y'all remember years ago, there used to be a TV program on, and I believe it starred Fred McMurray. It was called My Three Sons.
Yeah.
Noah was the first one to have that program.
That's good, Brother Mark.
My Three Sons.
His Three Sons,
I was thinking this week, now God is going to wipe out all of the generations of Adam up to Noah.
Yeah.
Except for Noah and his family, which it wouldn't have had to been that way if people would have heeded what Noah was preaching. But anyway, all that generation was going to be destroyed and coming up to Noah. And I was thinking this week, now all of that's gone, why do we still have sin?
Yeah.
You know, you would think we're not going to destroy sin, but we still got sin.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because of that one act of disobedience, the Bible said sin passed upon all men.
Yeah, that's right.
And Noah was not excluded from that, nor his sons, nor their wives, nor his wife. So sin is still sin.
The world may be
and God is God will ultimately destroy it, and it'll be done. But we're still living in a sin-sick nation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, as we coming up, we're getting ready to come into the ark itself and the flood that's going to take place on the earth. Now, I asked a question last week, and this wasn't during Sunday school, but it was either before church or after church. I don't remember. Asked a question, how do you know how old Noah was when he started building the ark? Now, Bonnie asked me, I believe Bonnie said, does it specifically say? Well, the answer to that question is, no, it just don't say. Well, no, it was this old.
He might have been 500 years old. Last verse of chapter 5 says, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 10 of chapter 6 says, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I mean, he may not have been, but he could have been around that age. I know, see, he preached for 120 years there in verse 3. So he might have been 500. Oh, we're looking at that.
Well, Brother Eddie's close. This is where you have to be a Holy Ghost detective. Let the Holy Ghost show you some things. Take your Bible and go over to chapter 7. Now, we won't dwell on this, but we'll just use it for a reference because of the question I asked you. How old was Noah when he started building the ark? Now, if you look in chapter 7 and look at verse number 6.
Yeah.
Now, listen to what the King James Bible said. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. 600. Now, how long did it take him to build the ark?
120.
So if you take off 120, off of 600, well, you get 480.
That's right, 80 years. So brother Mark was,
he would have been,
he said 500.
480 years old. Yeah. Now, something I noticed about this, Brother Eddie just read that in the last verse of chapter 5, verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, Noah was 480 when he started on the ark, but he was 500 before his sons was born.
Yeah.
So that means there was a period of time that the only ones, obviously, I would say, working on the ark was Noah and his wife.
Yeah.
Wow. That's right. Think about
it,
you're right.
I mean, I'm just deducting that from the scripture that, well, if he was 480, his sons wasn't born. So he started on it before they were born. And, of course, I don't know how they were when they started to help him.
I know the Bible doesn't say this, but I really think that Noah used some giants in the land to help build that. Because there's some big timber went in there.
Yeah. Well,
I know the Bible doesn't say that, but.
I don't know. I mean, we know that nobody believed him.
No.
So, you know, it's going to be hard for me to believe people's going to help somebody don't believe what he's doing.
That's true.
So, anyway, his sons wasn't born, but Noah obviously would have started building the ark. So he was 600 years old when the flood of waters came up on the earth, take 120 off that, make it 480. So that's where I would gather that reasoning down to. Now,
I think you stopped on verse 10.
Yeah, I did. I was thinking, and as a matter of fact, I was looking at this again. And between verses 8 and 10 in this chapter 6, you will find Noah's name mentioned 5 times.
Yeah.
It said, but Noah found grace, and now the Lord, there's one. These are the generations of Noah. That's 2. Noah, 3, was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, there's 4, and then 5 and 10, and Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Amen.
So he's mentioned 5 times in 3 verses.
Yeah, great.
So let me tell you what, when you serve God, he'll always make you great.
Amen.
You don't serve God to be great, but he makes you great.
Amen.
Now, did Noah have problems? Yes, he was a human being.
That's right. Yeah.
But one of the things where we'll see as we start cracking and digging into Noah is that it says right here that he was a just man.
Yeah.
Perfect don't mean he was sinless perfect, but he was a mature man. He was he was a grown up man, and you know that's one thing Brother Eddie was kind of talking about it today. Young people today, and maybe I'm just fantasizing. I don't know, but it seems like you know when we was younger growing up, that we was more mature than grown ups are today. Because they're not being taught to be.
Amen.
To be just and mature people.
Amen.
And none of us are perfect, so if you think you are, then you just, sorry about your luck.
That's
right. So that's not going to happen. But Noah, of all the things that took place and coming into this study on the ark itself, and the flood and the waters that came upon the earth. So God saw and found grace in the eyes of Noah. He saw a man that among wickedness was a just man. So I believe as wicked as this country is today, there's still some just people in it. And I still believe there's some righteous people in it. And like I said, God sees the wickedness going on, but he also sees the righteousness that's going on. Now we don't live righteous to impress nobody. We the Bible said to be holy. For I'm holy. Now we can't be holy like God is holy, but we can strive to be as we can. I mentioned something last week. I think it was maybe last Sunday night that I heard a and I'll just use the word in a sense. A preacher say that you know, the Bible said, "Give unto the Lord," and you know, He promised if you give, He'll give. And he said, "I give to the Lord, and now He owes me."
Oh my!
I don't owe nothing.
Oh no!
And in that same thought, I heard another preacher say that, well, it's probably the reason why the Lord ain't come back. He's waiting on you so you can give money to my ministry.
Lord.
And I thought, well, you dingbat. Ain't that stupid? That's and you stupid. Know what's bad is, there's people that will believe that junk.
Oh, yeah, they will.
I don't know when the Lord's coming. Don't know, nobody know. The Bible said we don't know the day nor the hour.
That's true.
We're not blind to it. We see the signs that Jesus told us would be prevalent. But we don't know when He's going to be here. We know He's going to be here. So we have to be ready. We don't ever know. Now, God gave these people 120 years.
Right.
Now, Noah worked on his ark. Now, let's pick up there, verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Mm. You know, sin just adds to sin.
Yeah.
You get one sin, it adds to another sin. One sin adds to another sin. It was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, and I want you to notice something I noticed in this verse. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, God's judgment wasn't just upon people, but it was upon the earth itself.
Amen. Yeah, He created that earth.
So, the earth suffered because of men's wickedness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we suffer in this country because of evildoers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we do. And people, I said a minute ago, people just live like, well,
no tomorrow.
God, yeah, they live like that, you know, they're, they think, and well, we just live like we want, God just overlook it. Let's keep your finger here in the book of Genesis, but let's skip over to the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 8. And look at verse number 11.
Yeah.
And that's what it said. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Boy, don't you see that being in this country today?
Oh,
people think, well, God ain't judged me, so I just go on and live like I want.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it just makes me sick to see the pride of people today.
Yeah, pride month.
They have no shame.
No.
Right. The Bible, Jeremiah said they have whore's forehead. They won't even blush.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, I don't never remember in my life growing up to see the brazen boldness of sinners where they are today. They care less. And but God's going to bring judgment just not upon the people, but upon the earth itself. Now, I don't know. Now, God is long-suffering. And I believe He is. And I'm glad He is. But when God does bring judgment, you can be assured that it will be swift. And it will be fair.
Yeah.
Now let's look at some more verses. Let's go to Matthew 24, verse 39. When God brings judgment, it will be swift.
Yeah.
And it will be fair. Matthew 24 and verse 39. Now, of course, we talked about maybe this last week, and talked about the days of Noah, how they were eating, drinking, giving in marriage, and all this stuff. And then look what it said, verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So in other words, I believe the judgment of God is going to catch people by surprise.
Yeah.
Now, it won't catch Christians by surprise.
All right, we're looking.
But it'll catch the lost world as a whole.
Yeah.
They're not going to expect it because, well, God's not judging me today.
Right.
Well, we just read that in Ecclesiastes. Just because God has not executed judgment right now don't mean that he's not going to do it in the future. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. Verses 3 through 6. Now, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust. Now, scoffer is somebody that makes fun, ridicules things of God, people of God, and man, we sure got a lot of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And saying, where's the promise of his coming?
Mm.
Now, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So what this is basically saying is, well, you say Jesus is coming, where is he at?
Right.
Well, he's coming.
That's right.
I don't know when he's coming, but he'll be here.
Yeah.
You ever look forward to heaven? Did you ever remember as a kid when you used to be... You had to entertain yourself.
Yeah.
And they have all the gadgets and gizmos you used to have today. Right. And, you used to look forward to having company.
Yeah.
Just so you could break up something that you were doing different.
Yeah.
You was looking forward to seeing people.
Yeah.
And, I believe Christians ought to be looking forward to seeing the sun.
Amen.
Because he's coming.
Right.
I don't know when he's coming, but he'll be here.
That's good, Brother Mark.
Now, for this, now notice... That one word right there. For this, they willingly are ignorant. Now, don't say they couldn't help it. They choose to be stupid.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of things you can fix, but you can't fix stupid.
Yeah, it
don't work. I've tried to fix it in my own life, and you can't fix stupid. Stupid is, and well, wasn't Forrest Gump said, stupid is, stupid does.
That's right.
So that's about the way it is.
Yeah.
They willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and they're standing out of the water and in the water now. We'll be dealing with that some more as we get into the flood.
Now, the Bible there calls them ignorant, okay, but we call them liberals.
Yeah, Democrats. now, notice what it said in verse 6. Whereby the world that was being overflowed with water, what happened to him?
Perished.
Yep.
So... Right. When God brings judgment, it'll be swift and it'll be just.
Amen.
Well, God wouldn't judge people like that. Well, he has.
Yeah.
And he did.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
And he promised he's going to do it again.
Lot's wife. One look, till there's hope.
Yeah, what you know.
Totally
We said to remember Lot's wife. What do you remember about Lot's wife?
You wasn't no further, buddy.
Her looking back.
Yeah.
I mean, what was her name?
Lot's wife.
Miss Lot.
Yeah. I've been there before.
No, don't call her name.
No.
All we know her for is looking back.
That's right. It.
And see, people
told her not to.
Right.
That's exactly, he told her not to.
Right.
God will bring judgment. And he brings it swift, and he brings it just. And here's the thing, he brings it on his time.
Amen.
Right. Now, I'm glad I'm not God.
Uh-huh.
And because if the things that I see going on in this country and in our government and our churches and our schools and our homes and everywhere else, I probably wouldn't be as long-suffering as God is.
Amen, Brother Mike.
and as merciful as God is.
Amen.
But see, none of us can say, well, there's a scripture, and I was going to look it up, but I know it's in the book of Jeremiah. And I won't get it exactly, but I'll tell you how the way I get it. What will you say when he shall punish thee? Mm-hmm. What are you going to say when judgment comes and you willingly chose to be ignorant and then God punishes you? What are you going to say?
Right.
Right.
There won't be nothing you can really say.
No.
You know, I'm sure that these people that Brother Ed talking about, people thinking you're crazy, I'm sure they thought Noah was crazy.
Oh, yes.
Because he was working on something he didn't even know what it was, other than what God told him. He was working on something that was going to save him and his family from something he'd never seen either.
Yeah.
Which is right.
Over fear, Hebrews said.
You know, there's no song you say it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark.
Yeah.
And the dark for the door didn't start till it was dark.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that these people, once God shut them out and the rain started upon the earth, they thought, you know, he may have been on to something.
They realized they was wrong too late.
Too late. God just wiped them out.
Yeah, they said, we'll see.
Till it
showed up.
Yep, he did. So God brings judgment. It will be swift. It'll be just. Yeah. It'll be in his time.
Amen.
And it'll always be the right time.
You're right.
Now, as we start getting in, and I said the earth was also going to suffer, the judgment of God, not just people. Now, I was going to get there while I was there, but I'm going to have to go back again. Let's go back to 2 Peter. Let my brain try to get ahead of me. Second Peter chapter 2, look at verse 4 and 5.
Yes.
Now, for if God spared not the angels of sin, right, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And then it goes on to talk about the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. So in other words, if God didn't spare them from judgment, he's not going to spare us from it.
That's right.
And the earth suffered because of the wickedness of man.
Amen.
It all started like that. So now, as we get into verse 14, God is going to give Noah the plans to build an ark. Now, the ark itself...
That verse 12...
Where you at, back in Genesis?
Yeah, where it said all flesh had corrupted his way. I wanted to note that, his way. God didn't want this.
No.
He had a better plan for man all along. The man just would not comply with the plan of the will of God.
Right.
And even today, they're stubborn as a mule. But God, had, his way is a good way. His way is a blessed way. Matter of fact, his way is the only way man's ever going to have any way to heaven. But man didn't want to go God's way. I don't want to mention that about verse 12.
Yeah. Now, as we get into looking at the ark, and I know the church is going to be going to the ark here pretty soon, ain't it? The ark itself had several functions. It did. But it only really had one sole purpose.
Right.
You don't know what it was?
Preserve life.
Float.
Oh.
It had to float.
That was its sole purpose. Float.
Yeah.
You know, the ark had no rudder.
No.
It wasn't meant to be guided.
No.
Well, it was, but not by man.
Right.
It had no charts. It wasn't designated to just go where man wanted to be.
Right.
Its sole purpose was float.
Amen.
And Vance Havner said one time, talking about the Titanic. You know, they said Titanic was unsinkable, and he said all it ever done was sink. And he said, you think about it, said a professional's built a Titanic and it sunk, and amateurs built the Ark and it didn't.
Hey, man.
That's good.
Yeah, they were saying even God couldn't sink a Titanic. So it made
noise. Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
But of all the things the Ark was, it just had one sole purpose.
Yeah.
And that was to float.
Hey, man. Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah.
It did.
God, you know, God gave Noah the plans on how to build it, exactly how to build
right.
it.
Right.
Now, you know, they didn't have chainsaws and skill saws and wood saws and all that other stuff. No. Everything no. They did by hand. 120 yeah. years it took them to build this thing.
No.
Now, the Ark was an amazing piece of architectural work.
Yeah.
Then you know today even Navy vessels are based upon the Ark.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, when you see a ship in the water, what you're seeing is you're just basically seeing the top part right. of it. But you ain't seeing what keeps that ship floating.
Right, right.
There's a whole lot of things, and what is it to keep, you know, it's always been an amazing thing to me. If you take a piece of steel and you pitch it in a pond, what is it going to do? It's going to sink.
Yeah.
But you take an aircraft carrier and put it on the Atlantic Ocean and it won't sink.
Yeah.
And it's steel.
Yes, it gets water in it.
But it displaces water
right.
and everything that's under it is based basically on the dimensions of the Ark.
That's right.
Do you remember it when we was over in Jerry's basement on where we had a study on the Ark, remember? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That
was
pitched in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what made that dude float.
Yeah.
I think it also preserved it. I think it's still around.
Yeah.
I remember reading several things about people yeah. that actually seen the Ark. I don't know.
That, yeah.
But that yeah. preserve of that pitch could be the reason it's still around today.
Yeah. Could
be. Now look what it said in verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Mm-hmm. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, man. I have looked and read and looked and read and read and looked and tried to. And you know, there's really no definitive fact to say exactly what gopher wood really was.
True, true.
Ark
wood.
Yeah, it was. Whatever it was, God chose it.
Yeah.
Because Noah couldn't say, well, I think that tree over there will be good because it's going to stand rain. He didn't know what rain was.
No.
He didn't know what to pick.
Yeah.
Now, I want to give you an interjection here. Now, I'm not saying I believe this. I'm not saying I don't. I'm just going to just give it to you. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about a man named in Glen Rose, Texas, by the name of Carl Barr. And you're talking about the Ark. And I mean, he devoted years to the study of the Ark. And he actually, before they shut down Mount Ararat, was given free rights to go on Mount Ararat as often as he wanted.
Wow.
And of course, the Turkish government and everything else shut that down. But anyway, he devoted years of his life to the study of the Ark. And he made this interjection about gopher wood. Now, here's what he said. Thou shalt make the Ark and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. He said, did you think that it could be possible that gopher wood was not a product, but a process?
Yes, good.
How many of you know what laminate is?
Oh, yeah.
You know what happens when you laminate something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Put it like that. And what did God tell them to use on it? Pitch.
Yeah, pitch it in and out.
Now, I don't know if y'all, any of you ever burn wood?
Oh, yeah.
What happens if you burn green wood?
It gives off moisture and makes a hissing sound and everything else.
something comes out of it called
chrysolite.
Sap. Yeah. You know, when you cut wood, my daddy always, you always cut wood in the fall.
Yeah.
Why? Because the sap is down.
Down.
So, I don't know, you know, I'm sure God knew that this sap and this chrysolite would pitch this thing together. Mm-hmm. And so he said it's possible that instead of it being a product, it was a process of laminating something.
Yeah. Very possible.
Just something to think about.
Yeah.
Well, we better stop. All right, so Lord willing, we'll pick up next week.
Father.
All right.
I am so thankful to see you. I'm glad to have you back.
In the book of Kings there, it talks about some pitch or slime pitch or something, says kill more.